That's a typical example of how the Gestapo in America is alive and well. And America is starting to wake up. We have sheriffs starting to wake up. Let me make this real clear. The President of the United States cannot tell your sheriff what to do. I don't care if it's George Washington himself. They cannot tell us what to do. And he, when he takes that job, every 4 years, he must reinforce his oath of office if he gets reelected. And he swears an oath in God's name that he will protect, preserve, uphold, and defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state wherein he works. And that's what makes this a very unique job, because they hire him, they can fire him, and he promises them to defend their liberty. And that's where we've gotten off track. This is the good sheriff standing and doing his job and standing against the tyrant. Wasn't it Jefferson who said, defiance of tyranny is obedience to God?
In Business Game Changers, I'm Sarah Westall. I have the great Sheriff Mack coming to the program, and he has been going around the country with his organization, helping sheriffs understand that their role is to uphold the Constitution. They took an oath to their office, and they are only answerable to the people who elect them. And so he believes, and many people believe, and he makes a great argument, that the sheriffs are our last best hope for restoring our country and getting it back on track. So we're going to talk about what's going on right now, some of the out of control Nazi type behavior that we're seeing, and how the sheriffs can really make a big dent, huge, in turning this whole thing around. He also talks about his Supreme Court case and how that really sets the standard of what the law is, on what the sheriff's rights are, and how they cannot be dictated by the federal government, by the governor, by anyone besides the people who elect them. And he'll share that with you. This is a very important interview, and I'm so honored to have him on my program. He does stick around for my patrons. I was going to make it a Patreon exclusive, but what I'm going to do is just post it on my Patreon as a public, but on my Patreon, so that everybody can see it. And I have the link. It's patreon.com/Sarah Westall. I just think it's really important that everybody gets to see it. And then you can kind of see what my Patreon's about as well. I do have quite a bit of exclusive, like, coupons for the C60 gel caps and different things. And also remember to sign up for my newsletter at sarahwestall.com. You'll get updates on shows like this and news events. And, you know, with censorship, it's really important to get, you know, to get on that newsletter and to get updates. Again, that's at sarahwestall.com. So let's get into this really important interview with Sheriff Mack. Sheriff Mack, thank you so much for joining the program today.
Well, Sarah, I've heard so much about you, and it is an honor to be on with you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you know, I'm actually have been really sad. I'm going through a lot of emotions of anger and sadness and frustration. And I feel like everything we've been fighting for is now just kind of on display in front of us. And I really, talking to someone like you gives, I think, gives a lot of people hope in what you're fighting for. Can you talk about your organization and what it does?
Well, my organization is actually called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And we actually believe in the American Constitution, American ideals, American liberty, and American liberty because it's God-given liberty. And God gave us liberty, and no man has the right to take it away. And it was born about 10 years ago. I was the founder of the CSPOA, the acronym for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. And that was born out of a lawsuit that I filed against the Clintons when I was sheriff in Arizona. Small town, Safford, Arizona. That's where I was raised. My dad was an FBI agent there for a long time. And then I ran for sheriff in 1988. I hope you and all your listeners go, no way, he doesn't look that old. thank you.
You're welcome.
But, yeah. And then I was reelected in 1992, and in 1994, the Brady Bill took effect, and it was the first time in American history that a law from the federal government, a federal law, commandeered the office of sheriffs all across the country to enforce a federal statute. And not only that, it was gun control. And there were five Brady bills scheduled to be passed one year after the other until the Second Amendment was going to be completely gutted. Gun shows were going to be made illegal, and they were going to require serial numbers on every bullet in America, which means every bullet in the world. And so they were going to regulate ammunition out of existence and say, well, you know what? The Second Amendment doesn't guarantee your right to keep and bear ammunition. So they were literally going to go after ammunition and render firearms useless. And so being that this was the first time that a law, supposed law, it was just pretended law, actually, because they have no authority to make a law commandeering and conscripting what sheriffs must do in order to serve the federal government. And so the other part of that is it was the first time that a law conscripted us and then added to it, if we failed to comply, they would arrest us.
Oh, geez.
And it sounds like I'm making this stuff up. It is so crazy, Sarah, I admit it. But it's all true. It's all right in the Brady Bill. It's all documented. No one has ever challenged me on that because it's there. It's true. And I don't need to make up stuff. The whole thing is crazy as it on its face. And I would never make anything up about this. But regardless, the federal government tried to commandeer us, take over us, tell us what to do. And three agents of the BATF showed up at a Sheriff's Association meeting in Phoenix. There's only 15 sheriffs in Arizona. 13 were at this meeting. Three agents handed us a document, said, this is your marching orders. This is what you have to do in order to comply with the Brady Bill. It was a 25-page document. And, oh, every sheriff in the state, both Democrats and Republicans alike, were really ticked off. You never heard so much cussing in your life. These sheriffs were ticked because the federal government is saying, you will do this without any negotiation, without any contract. And they said, this is what you will do. And if you don't, you're facing a $10,000 fine or a year in jail or both.
Who does the sheriffs report to? I know they're elected officials. So do they only answer to the people?
Nobody.
They answer to the people.
Nobody except the people. There's nobody in charge in the county government or the state government that's in charge of the sheriff. Certainly none at the federal level. Let me make this real clear. The president of the United States cannot tell your sheriff what to do. I don't care if it's George Washington himself. They cannot tell us what to do.
Whereas, in contrast, they can tell the chief of police what to do because they're part of that hierarchy, right?
Certainly the mayor, the city council, and the town manager. In fact, that's what's really frightening, is that the chief of police answers to the city manager and to other politicians. He or she is a bureaucrat. And I'm not putting him down for that. I'm just telling you like it is. So, yeah, let's make sure you alluded to it just a second ago. Let's make sure everybody understands this. The sheriff is elected by, for, and of the people in his county, and he reports only to them, and they review his job every 4 years to see if they want to reappoint him or reelect him, and if not, they kick him loose, they fire him, and that's how it goes, and that's why we are a constitutional republic.
Well, and let's lay that out a little farther. Who does the sheriff? They have sheriff deputies underneath them, whereas the police have, you know, they're policemen. Now, how does that conflict with each other or work together?
Well, it doesn't really conflict. They have their jurisdiction and we have ours. The sheriff has concurrent jurisdiction with police departments in his entire county because the people inside the cities also vote for the sheriff. So he does have countywide jurisdiction. The police departments don't. They try to say, well, we have statewide. All certified cops say we have statewide jurisdiction. No, they don't. You have an area, it's defined geographically. If an off-duty cop sees a crime committed somewhere, even outside his state, of course he will take action. Yes, and he is a certified officer of the state, but he works in that geographical jurisdiction. But the sheriff is way different because he works for the people, he works by the people, of the people, and he reports directly to them. And it's really a fantastic process. And when he takes that job, every 4 years, he must reinforce his oath of office if he gets reelected. And he swears an oath in God's name that he will protect, preserve, uphold, and defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the state wherein he works. And that's what makes this a very unique job, because they hire him, they can fire him, and he promises them to defend their liberty. And that's where we've gotten off track.
We got way off track. I mean, there's some of these examples. Like, let's talk about specific ones and where the police have maybe jurisdiction or the sheriff has jurisdiction or they both and how that works and whether it was constitutionally right. Now, the first one is really awful. This is, and I'll play a little clip of it here. This is where the woman in Wisconsin wanted her little child, her kid, to play with another little kid. And these two deputies decided, these are sheriff deputies, decided that that wasn't her right. Okay, I'm gonna play it.
Deputy Everhart with the Sheriff's Department. So, are you aware that we're in a stay-at-home order right now?
Yeah,
By the
obviously.
government
Yes,
of
I am
Wisconsin?
aware.
Okay, you're aware of that?
I am
So, I
aware.
don't need to explain that to you?
No, you don't need to explain
Okay,
that
because
to
I
me.
can if you need me to.
Go, you can because your officer was just here 2 weeks ago.
Okay, do you need me to
And
explain
he
it to you or no?
explained it to me that you guys weren't enforcing that order.
Oh, we're about to. So
Okay.
you understand it though?
Okay, so why are you here?
Because your daughter is going to play at other people's home and you're allowing it to happen.
Okay.
And so either you can acknowledge it or you can argue with
I'm
it.
acknowledging it.
Okay, stop having your kid go by other people's home.
Okay.
Because you're violating an order.
I
We're
haven't
gonna
violated an order.
have documentation in our screen with your name because we're here talking to you about that you said you just acknowledged.
Okay.
So then there's
I would like
documentation
to
of
see
who
the
we
law
spoke
that
to.
requires me to give you that information. I don't believe that I'm required to give that to you. Are
Away
we
from
done
levels.
here?
No, we're not. Your
Okay.
middle initial and your last name.
I'm not giving it to you. I haven't done anything wrong.
I already
Perfect.
got it.
We got it.
Okay.
And that'll be documented too, that you're uncooperative.
Okay.
What do you think of that particular situation?
Well, I saw it, and I think that that's a typical example of how the Gestapo in America is alive and well. And these two thug officers treating a citizen like they did is petrifying. It's horrifying that we could have two sworn guards of the Constitution conduct themselves in such a heinous, Nazi-like manner. I'm appalled, and I'm disgusted, and I would like to talk to that sheriff about providing them RCSPOA constitutional training for peace officers. And I think this kind of conduct would stop, diminish greatly anyway, if we had officers that were trained in their oath of office, in the Constitution itself, in patriotism, and understand that our job is defined in the Declaration of Independence, where it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So, our main purpose in the executive branch, which cops are part of the executive branch because we're the executors of the law, in the judicial branch and legislative branch, our purpose is the same. Our assignments are different, but our purpose is all the same. We are here to protect liberty. If we understood that that was our primary and paramount responsibility, I think we would conduct ourselves much differently.
Well, God, I think so too. I mean, that was awful. And the way that they said that they would write her down as being insubordinate or being difficult, not cooperating. That's what they said. It's just
Un
in.
un uncooperative.
Y
Well, you don't
yeah.
want to commit the crime of being uncooperative.
I was was like, good job. I was terrible. Okay, let's talk about another situation. The Orange County.
I really liked what I want to point out, though.
Go
that
ahead.
Lady did the right thing. She wasn't rude, but she told him, I'm not giving you information. I have not done anything wrong. And those officers go, well, we're going to put it down in the computer then. You're uncooperative. Okay? They knew she hadn't done anything wrong. I'm proud of those two officers for at least not escalating there and beating her up or tasing her or forcing her to the ground and hauling her off for disorderly conduct because she's not cooperating. Thank God that they didn't do that. But
her biggest crime was not letting her child play with another child. My God. I mean, when I said I was sad at the beginning of seeing those kinds of things, really bring a sadness to me because I'm watching my country. I've never seen, we've fallen so far where something like that could happen. You know, a mother wanting
to. Yeah, it's sad to watch people dying.
Yeah.
It's sad to watch people dying of coronavirus. I'll be the first one to admit that. I'm really afraid this coronavirus thing. And I will continue to be careful. And as a matter of fact, I keep pockets hand sanitizer with me everywhere I go. I go out in public. I just got back from the post office. I wore a mask in there. And we try to stay away from public places. But I tell you right now, I don't drink. But if a bar opens up here locally, I will go and support them. And I'll take my wife in. I don't think my wife and I have ever been to a bar together, but we would go do that to support them. And I hope they have good lemonade.
But children aren't dying, and children under 10, they don't think they've had a single child under 10. I mean, I don't, in the whole world, I don't know what there's
doesn't
been.
Matter. It doesn't matter what the statistics are. In fact, my judge in the first case, in my Supreme Court case, Judge John Roll in Tucson at the district court case, the federal government was trying to show all these statistics. And he says, counselor, don't try to pretend in this courtroom that your statistical analysis somehow equates to constitutionality. See, everybody wants to quote statistics about all these things. And if they can back it up with statistics, then they can do anything they want. Well, you can't. Statistics don't mean a thing. Is it authorized? Is it lawful? Is it constitutional?
Well,
that's when you.
Well, it's not constitutional, but what I'm saying, even on top of it not being constitution, it is extremely dumb. And so that's why
I brought
that up.
And the numbers don't add up either. You're right.
That's why I brought, because it's just.
Well, you're right. The numbers
don't add up. It is not only not constitutional, you're keeping that, you're house arrest for a child that did nothing wrong and who isn't in danger and isn't for some reason they're low, very very low risk of a 10-year-old child, 10 and under, of spreading it as well. So they they're instituting something that is so wrong. But anyways, I want to talk about Orange County because the governor of California decided that the beaches of Orange County were not going to be open. They weren't behaving. The people in Orange County weren't behaving. And the sheriff's that he's just not going to enforce it. What do you think of that? And what do you think kind of reaction he's going to get, or probably already has?
He reminds me of me. Because John Wayne used that line in True Grit. And I'm telling you, I love it when I see sheriffs standing for liberty across America. Even if it's not liberty, standing for common sense.
Yes.
And we actually allow people to go on with their lives a little bit. And then people wonder why we rebel when we're held too tight and we're actually held in confinement, in house arrest. The whole state is under house arrest. That's what judges give sentences for. They will tell you, okay, you're guilty of petty larceny. This is your fifth offense. So I'm going to, we don't have room for you in jail. So I'm going to confine you to your home. You are to report to your probation officer. If we find out that you are outside your home, you're going to go to jail. We're actually doing that to people who have never committed a crime. And America is starting to wake up. We have sheriffs starting to wake up. And so let me ask you the $10,000 question. To you and all your audience, let me ask you the $10,000 question. Which sheriff do you want? The one in Wisconsin that had his little thug officers going to people's homes and harassing them, threatening them, and saying you better not let your kid outside to play? Thank goodness they didn't take the child into custody because the mom is exposing the child to danger. Holy moly. This thing could have really gone bad.
Yeah, that could have went really bad if they put their child into protective custody or something.
Do you want the sheriff in Maine or the sheriff in Orange County? And this is California, and we do have some good sheriffs there. And this is the good sheriff standing and doing his job and standing against the tyrant. Wasn't it Jefferson who said, defiance of tyranny is obedience to God?
Yeah.
Here we have a sheriff. So which sheriff do you want in your community? And we've been doing this CSPOA constitutional stuff for law enforcement and sheriffs for 10 years now. It's so gratifying to see that it's paying off.
Well, that's so great.
Thank you, sheriffs in California.
Okay, well, so now this Orange County, let's say he doesn't enforce it. Can the cities enforce it, or what can they figure out a way to defy the sheriff by other people enforcing it, or does the sheriff have overall ruling authority there?
He has it, but when the sheriffs of New York said that they would stop this SAFE Act, which was a gun control law promoted by Cuomo about 5 or 6 years ago, there was 25 sheriffs in New York. And I actually went out there and had a press conference in Albany at the state capitol with them. And it's so gratifying to see that sheriffs are telling governors now, you're not going to do that here. We've had lots of them tell the federal government, you're not going to do that here. It's really what we're supposed to be doing. If a sheriff is standing for liberty, that is exactly what he promised to do in the first place. So, they'll try to go out and the New York Cuomo tried to say he was going to remove the 25 sheriffs from office and have them replaced. Then he found out he couldn't do that. And he kind of went, oh, come on, buddy. I was just kidding.
Yeah.
And he literally said something very simple.
That's funny.
Yeah. And we've seen a lot of dumb things that he has said because he holds almost daily press conferences from New York, from Albany. But no, there's really not too much they can do. They could try. I mean, they could try to bring in the state police and order them to do it. But, you know, could the governor try that? Yes, he could. Is it a good idea? No. And I think even he knows that. To try to cross those lines and to diminish the role of the elected sheriff, I know they don't want to start fights with sheriffs. And they don't want to challenge sheriffs. And politically, it's just not a good idea. You want to keep the sheriffs on your side. Does he have a right to do that? No. Would he try to do it? Well, you never know what Hitler's going to do. I mean, governors are going to do.
Yeah. And we have some governors that are close to being Hitler-like. Okay, let's talk about the Maine situation where the restaurant owner decided that they were going to open up anyways. I mean, they got to make a living. Their restaurant's going to fail if it's too long. And they opened up and so many people came out to support them. And the governor took away their license, their liquor license and their business license right away. So they couldn't, they just destroyed his business. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it falls in line with what that governor's been trying to do there. Is it Mills? Governor Mills?
Yeah.
And we have...
They had 33 people in the hospital.
Oh, well, yeah. Like it's a huge problem. No. And 2 weeks ago, I remember talking about this. Sheriff Nichols in Franklin County, Maine. The governor, can you imagine telling a governor this? We're not going to make our county a police state just because you say so. We're not going to act like Nazis in this county. We're going to enforce the Constitution. We are guards of the Constitution. The Constitution establishes government, and now you want us all to violate that. We're not going to do it here. So that brings up the question. Do you, the American people, do you want that kind of a sheriff in your community? That's what we do at the CSPOA. We create that. This is a peaceful process. We've seen these sheriffs that are standing from California to Maine. Can you imagine that? We have sheriffs from California to Maine, New York, and we have some good ones down in Florida. Got a few bad ones in Florida. We got a few bad ones in every state. But we have Sheriff Mark Lamb now here in Arizona saying that he was trying to be kind of tactful with the governor who just came out, and our governor said, no, we're going to continue the lockdown. You cannot open your business. If you try to open your business without our permission, it'll be 6 months in jail, a $2,500 fine, and you'll lose your, driver's license.
Business.
Your alcohol license. And he's just after. And then so Sheriff Mark Lamb, who is just an hour south of us here in Pinal County, he came out with an interview on, I think it was Fox 10 here, and he said, what are you going to do about this, Sheriff? And he goes, I'm not, the governor's an okay guy. I like him okay, but we're not going to do that here. And he says, so if somebody tries to open, what are you going to do? And he says, I'll go to their business, recommend that they follow all the safety guidelines that the CDC has talked about. But I'm not going to fine anybody. I'm not going to arrest anybody. I'm not going to shut anybody down. And I'm not going to let anybody else do it either. And I think that video of Sheriff Lamb, anybody wants to look it up, it's Sheriff Mark Lamb, L-A-M-B. And you'll find out what a good constitutional sheriff is all about. That's what we are about at CSPOA. Oh, and can I remind you of one other thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's this. Everybody can join the CSPOA. It's an organization that's for the people. And you've got to be involved in the freedom process. Again, this is what Sheriff Lamb did, what Sheriff Nichols did, what the sheriff in Orange County did. Sorry, I don't even remember his name. What these good sheriffs are doing is showing everybody that this is a peaceful process to restore liberty in our America right now. And what really scares me is that the next wave of this virus or another one, what are they going to do to us if something really bad happens?
Yeah, because this really isn't that bad. What happens? Yes, go ahead.
No, it's not. No, just as you said, only 33 in Maine, yet they want to shut everything down. And the dictator in Michigan, Governor Whitmer, wants to make seeds against the law and growing a garden against the law and doing yard work against the law.
She's nuts.
And this kind of nonsense stupidity. And she wants us to enforce this? Why would any sheriff, why would any peace officer in this country enforce that when he is sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of both the state and the federal government? I don't get that.
And even on a very common sense level, don't you have better things to do than make sure someone's not planting seeds?
Well, Sarah, you're trying to be logical and use common sense. You see,
you can't do that
doesn't really apply to these governors. Yeah, you can't do that.
Anyway,
I want to make sure that everybody knows you could go to cspoa.org. Become a member, make a donation, and by all means, get you about 10 or 20 of these and pass them around.
Well, I want to ask you.
What are those?
Yeah, we're going to talk about what those are, but I want to ask you one last thing. You sent out, you've been trying to contact all the sheriffs, because one of the things that you said is you believe they're our last best hope at maintaining our Constitution. What do you mean by that?
Well, I actually wrote a book in 2009 that has that title, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And what I mean is that when it really comes down to enforcing these edicts and orders and dictatorial rules from these governors, that the bottom line is, who's going to enforce it? And so I wrote this up over 10 years ago. And that book is available on the website also. The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, details what the responsibilities and duties are of the sheriff. It takes a little bit of a history lesson what the sheriff is, talks about his jurisdiction and his duty, but it also talks about this question. It starts with this question. Jefferson said, "When all government shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided and become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated," end quote. Well, the question is, to whom can the people turn for peace, safety, protection, and liberty when government becomes venal and oppressive? And it doesn't care if it's the local, it doesn't matter if it's the local governor, the local mayor, even the local sheriff, heaven forbid. Where can the people go? And certainly if it's the IRS, or if it's the FDA, or the EPA, or the USDA, or the DEA, or the FBI, on and on and on. If they're oppressing people, and they are victimizing people, and they are abusing the rights of the people, to whom can the people turn for peace, safety, and liberty? If it's not the sheriff, then who on earth could it possibly be? He is the ultimate protector of the people. He is elected by for and of the people. He serves at the will of the people. Shouldn't they be able to go to him and say, "Hey, remember when you promised us you would uphold and defend the Constitution and we hired you as our sheriff? We want to know, are you going to do that, sheriff? We need your help." "Oh, well, I only go after drug dealers and street criminals. I don't go after government criminals." Well, who the hell does then? And of course, what does it say? "I protect you from all enemies, both foreign and domestic." And sometimes government does become a domestic enemy, and we have to remind them where they're supposed to be, put them back in their place, and tell them, "As long as I'm sheriff here, you're not going to victimize the people of my county."
That's great. I love that. I mean, that's what we need. So you have a pamphlet that you give out. What is in it, and what can people learn from it?
Can you see the title?
Yeah, The Victory for State Sovereignty.
Okay, and it has every flag of every state on it. Yeah, that is actually a highlighted version of my Supreme Court decision. And I want to bring out 3 points about the case. This was a 10th Amendment challenge. This was a 10th Amendment decision. And I was saying all along, the federal government cannot tell me what to do. And thus, the 10th Amendment protects me in that. Scalia, who wrote the decision, God rest his soul, he wrote the decision and it went much further than I ever imagined. I bet it even went further than what Scalia really wanted. But he did it. And it's law. And the reason it's law, now courts can't make law, I'll be the first one to say that. The reason this is law is that it's just a history lesson. Scalia doesn't make law here. He just reinforces the supreme law of the land. So that's why I call it is law. And at one point he says this, and everybody really needs to catch this. I'm going to say the first part twice. "But the Constitution," I'm quoting, this is Mac Prince, V-U-S. If you just Google Mac V-U-S, it'll come up. But another name will come up when you do that. Prince, he was the other sheriff that went with me. 6 other sheriffs joined me in this lawsuit. I was the first one to file. I started the whole thing. And I'm so grateful that these other sheriffs joined the lawsuit. I still can't imagine why there was only 7 of us out of 3,080 sheriffs in this country. And only one from Texas. How do you have only one out of 254 sheriffs in Texas? But anyway. My point is this, quote, "But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions." But the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. But you know what? That's the end of that quote, part of the quote. But the Constitution can't do it by itself. It has to be that people like sheriffs and peace officers and chiefs of police, they all need to be united in standing for this. The Constitution can't do it by itself. It's a piece of paper. It takes us, the American people, and sheriffs and other public officials working together to make sure that this never happens again, that we destroy everything that made America great in order to protect ourselves. This whole thing about government believing that they can suspend liberty, suspend our Constitution, suspend America, destroy all of that because there's a crisis of the day. And let me finish that point too. Herein, right here, Scalia goes on and he said, the Constitution divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely so we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an immediate solution to the crisis of the day, end quote. Folks, take this to your leaders. There's been many sheriffs who have kicked back against what I do, and they'll say, hey, we just have to enforce the law. I said, oh, yeah, I want you to enforce the supreme law of the land. And they go, no, we have to, only the Supreme Court can decide what's constitutional and what's liberty. And I said, you mean when you took your oath, you said, I promise and solemnly swear that I will do whatever the Supreme Court tells me to do. So help me God. That's not the oath at all. Not even close. So my question is, who decides? The Constitution decides, and you swore to uphold and defend the Constitution. And so if then you will follow Supreme Court decisions, then read this and enforce this, because this is the only time a sheriff ever sued the federal government and won. And folks, you need to read this. It's really small. It fits in your front pocket or your back pocket, and it only takes about 10 minutes to read this. You have got to see this for yourself. And one other point I want to make here, right out of the decision, just so you don't think I'm making this up. It talks about, it's talking about how a balance of power between the states and the federal government is one of our key protections of liberty in this country. And then he follows that. If we have that division of power between the states and the feds, that it provides this. And he's actually quoting the Federalist Papers here. Hence, a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other. Wow. The different governments control each other. So, Sheriff, get to controlling your tyrannical Hitler governor. And I love it when I see this happening. And yes, it's happening in just about every state. Washington State has some really good sheriffs standing right now, and we absolutely love it. Sheriff Mike Capriotti in New York, doing a terrific job out there. So, ladies and gentlemen, get your copies and spread these out. There's actually some candidates running for particular offices around the country, and they give these out as part of their campaign.
Oh, excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to read this. Well, you really need to read this.
And one thing that I was told is that anybody can join your organization. You don't have to be a sheriff, right? And the more people you get that joins your organization, right, the better your organization does, because you have the funding to keep educating the sheriffs of what their oath really is, and the people of what the sheriff's oath.
If everybody wants us to keep doing that and helping to wake these sheriffs up and educate these sheriffs, then help sponsor us and become a life member, become a regular member. It's only $50 for a 1-year membership. And, or you can make a donation of any amount that you would like. And, we had one, lady that, no, it was actually a guy, a man from, Illinois, I think it was. Anyway, they have 77 sheriffs in this particular state. And he said he wants to pay for us to send one of these with a letter of explanation to every sheriff in his state. And he says, just let me know how much that'll be, and I'll pay for the whole thing. See, it's people doing stuff like that that gets things going.
That's what we need. We need those going to every sheriff in the country. And then we also need them to understand what their oath means. And we need regular citizens to understand what it means.
He works. He can't do this if you're not telling him to. And if you don't know what your sheriff's supposed to be doing, how's he going to do it? He works for you.
Exactly. Okay, now tell us where they can get your stuff again. What's your website?
Okay. There's probably three or four books that people would really want to have. One is Are You a David? I've written about seven or eight books. Are You a David is a takeoff on the David who stood against Goliath. In fact, there's a little painting on the front that depicts that. Are You a David? Will you answer the call to stand against Goliath? It's a book for citizens and public officials alike. And then The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. It's only 50 pages long. I try to keep my stuff short and sweet. You know, so if anybody in law enforcement says, I don't have time to read that, because you give them some big 700-page book. No, you can read this, officer and sheriff, you can read this while you eat a donut. Okay? So, perfect. Read this, drink a cup of coffee, have your donut, and then go and enforce this. And then these are only, you can get five of these for $10. Really easy. Get them out there. But first, read it yourself. The Victory for State Sovereignty. It's a review of the Supreme Court case. And man, is it powerful. So it's all available at C, as in Charlie, S as in Sam, P as in Paul, O as in Oscar, A as in Alpha, CSPOA.org. You can write us. Our address is there if you want to send a check. Some people don't like doing PayPal or credit card on our website. Totally fine. We don't care. We take gold, silver, cash, whatever, and boy, do we need it. And so I'm just telling everybody, if all of us get involved in this process, we're going to win. And we're going to be better off in reaching all the sheriffs of this country because you get involved.
We have to be united to get this done. So thank you so much. Will you stick around for my patrons?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I'll stay with you forever. Let's go.